Now let us open our Bibles together, and we're reading a passage today from Paul's epistle to the Romans, and the chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and we'll commence our reading at the verse 26, Romans chapter 8 and the verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we'll end our reading there, the verse 39, and we trust that God will bless his word and his truth to each and every one of us today for his own name's sake. Let us turn together here in this passage of scripture today in Romans and in the chapter 8. We're considering this passage here, at least some verses from this section of scripture today, for I trust our help, and for our own edification. In 1918, when the guns fell silent, after 4 years and 3 months of war, a war that was savage in so many, many ways, in the loss of flesh and blood. And it staggers our minds as we think back upon the First World War, but not just upon that war, but upon the Second World War as well, and many other wars. 10 million soldiers were dead. Another 3 million were presumed dead or missing. 13 million civilians dead. 20 million soldiers wounded. There were 9 million children orphaned, and 10 million left wandering with nowhere to lay their head. But then when we think not only of the awful loss of life and the savagery of these wars, when we think about the broken hearts, all the homes and the families that were left destitute, shattered minds, each individual was once loved, once a part of a family. They were loved and they were treasured. There was laughter, I'm sure, and there was affection. And then, of course, there were those that could never again leave hospital. Sometimes we forget about those men. Never, ever could leave hospital because of the awful injuries that they sustained from the wars. They weren't allowed out, their faces and their bodies so shattered that they would perhaps terrify the public. That was the reasoning behind it. And so they spent the rest of their days closed off, shut away in wards. And then, of course, not only that, we have the awful outcome of the Second World War as well. And all wars. Now, I remember as a young lad when I was growing up, I can just barely remember. We can all go back to our childhood memories, our first memories, as it were, of childhood. Those very early memories. And one of my earliest memories is that of my great-grandfather. And I never really knew much about him as such, except that he was an old soldier from the First War on my father's side. And he survived the war. But I remember my sister said to me a few years back, she said, you know, the man wasn't right in his mind. He wasn't right in the head. And like so many men that returned from the war, they were shell-shocked and their minds were devastated forever. He was only one, of course, of many in that condition that came back from the First World War. My great-grandfather on my mother's side was killed in the war. And I suppose every one of us here in the congregation today, we can think of family and loved ones, even in the troubles here in Ulster, who lost loved ones and brings back many, many memories. But the fact is, when we think of wars, brethren, when we think of all the devastating effects of war, the fact is that the world is not getting better. Many people think today, you know, that our society is improving and the world is going to eventually get better. But when we turn to the Word of God, to the Scriptures, we have a different picture altogether of our world and our society. The Savior himself spoke of wars and rumors of wars. He spoke about the days of Noah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And the earth back then was filled with violence, back even in Noah's day. And so it is in our day, even at this present time. How many wars are going on in different parts of the world, and the awful hardship and the misery that comes because of those wars. So our world is not getting better. And we're surrounded by uncertainties. We're living in a society, in a world of uncertainties. Will peace continue, we ask? Well, that's all in the hand of the Almighty God. Will peace continue? What will the world be like in another 10 or 15 or 20 years? But here before us today, we have a passage of Scripture. Here we have, men and women, the Word of God. And when we open this book and when we come to this word, it affords us assurance with regards to the future. Whatever trials, whatever hardships we may have to endure, there may be more trouble. There may be more wars indeed on the way. We don't know what we're going to have to face. But for the believer, for the person, individual who is saved by the grace of God and who knows the Lord, we know that the future is certain and it is sure. Because we have assurance. We have assurance that all is well with our souls. And we sing it in that hymn, don't we? It is well. It is well with my soul. So though our world is filled with chaos and with trouble, upheavals everywhere, yet what a consolation it is when we open the Scriptures. When we open the pages of the Word of God, there we meet with this great assurance with regard to the present, that God has his hand upon his church and upon his people. And with regard to the future, we know that every believer, every child of God today has and possesses eternal life. If you're saved today by the grace of God, that's what you have. That's what you possess. And the Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now we want to look at this for a few moments today. And there is, of course, there is the certainty of God's loving providence. And we have that here in the verse 28 in this passage that we read. Now let us look at the verse together. In Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The certainty of God's providence, of God's loving providence. Now all things are ordered and controlled by the Lord today. Every event of life, everything that comes to pass. You see, there's many people today, and they have the notion that our world, as it were, just runs at random. Everything is happening by chance, as they talk about, or by luck, or by random. And there's nothing fixed, and there is nothing certain at all. But, of course, that's not the truth of God's word. When we think of God and who he is, when we think of his reign and of his throne, that he is indeed the Almighty, and he is the God of providence, and everything is ordered by the Almighty. There is nothing out of control as we would think. We look at the world and we think, we often say perhaps and use the words, everything seems to be out of control. But not as far as God is concerned. Not as far as the Lord is concerned. He has his hand upon each and every thing. That is, upon every event of life. Even upon suffering and trials and temptation. And even upon sin itself and rebellion and disorder. There's a God who has his hand upon all things. And not only that, but we are assured that everything works together for good to them that love God. Even suffering, men and women, and temptations, and trials, and our setbacks, and our disappointments. Everything works together for good to them that love the Almighty God. Let me give you an illustration of that. After an awful coal mine disaster in England, 48 men were killed. Many, many years ago, of course, this happened. 48 men were killed. And the families all gathered there at the mouth of the coal mine for a short service. And that service was conducted by a Church of Ireland bishop, Bishop Stanley. But he gave an illustration to the families at that time to help them. And he told of a bookmarker that his mother gave him when he was just a little boy. You know, just a bookmarker. And he said on the one side, he said it was all threads crossed and recrossed. Maybe you have one of them at home. A work of tapestry, that sort of thing. And you look at it on one side, and you see the threads crisscrossed everywhere. And it doesn't make really, you look at it, there's no order to it. Doesn't seem to make any sense at all. But he said, when he turned it over, he read these words, God is love. God is love. So on the one side, they were all the threads. And of course, they all went into making up that great text of scripture. God is love. And so with all the threads of life that seem to be crisscrossed everywhere, with perhaps no plan and no order to any of them, yet we have to keep this in mind. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. As I say, there's many things in this life that we do not understand. But the Lord takes even the lives of his people, the lives of his own people, chosen, called, elect according to his grace. And he takes their lives for his own purposes and for his own plans, and he weaves them into a pattern.
There's a pattern to everything. As I say, nothing at all falls out by chance or by what people call luck, good luck or bad luck. And so even with setbacks, with problems, with cares, with suffering and everything else, it is God who is at work within our lives and within our hearts. And of course, ultimately, he will bring us to glory and to heaven itself. Was it by chance, for example, when we think of the very place in which we were born? Was it by chance that we were born where we were? Was that just a matter of chance? Was it by chance that you came into contact with the gospel and the preaching of the word of God? Perhaps at a very early age in some gospel missions? Was that by chance? Dear friends, we might have been born in some part of the world where there was no gospel at all, where the word was never preached, where there was no witness, no testimony. But God so ordained it in his mercy and in his goodness that we were born into that place, in that area, where we had contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you heard the word of truth. And I'm sure there's many here today in the church, and you can testify to that fact. You can look back. Maybe you're in your teens at the time. It may be that you were an older person. But you can look back to a time when you heard the gospel, when you were convicted of sin, when the Lord came by his Spirit and had a dealing with you, and you came to faith in Christ and you were saved. That's your testimony. I was saved perhaps at that mission, in that gospel rally, or in the church. Maybe you can go back further perhaps to Sunday school days. And it was there that you heard the good news of the gospel and first came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see in this passage here, the Apostle Paul is encouraging here the people of God. He is seeking to lay every consolation before them. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Ah, yes, the world talks about chance and everything else. But the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without his permission. Not even a sparrow. A whole lot of people perhaps don't think much of sparrows. You feed them in the winter. You have your bird table. You put out a bit of food for the birds. But nobody is going to take any notice, really. There's going to be no commotion, no mourning if you find a sparrow dead. Who cares about a sparrow? Such a trivial thing. And yet, our God, our Heavenly Father, reminds us, not even a sparrow will fall to the ground without his permission. Even the very hairs of our heads are all numbered. So you see, in the plan and in the purpose of the Almighty God, brethren, the very place we were born, ordained of God, our contact with the gospel, ordained of the Lord, all of these things fitting into place. Just like that bookmarker, you look at one side and you can make no sense of it. Just a lot of threads weaved this way and that way and going every way. Oh, but when you turn it over, there you see the hand of God and the word of God. And so it is in the life of every believer, every child of God. And when we think just not only of the Lord's dealings with us, even as the people of God, yes, perhaps ill health has come upon us at times, and other setbacks and disappointments. There's the chastening hand of God, for he chastens all his sons, all his children. It is one of the signs, one of the characteristics of God's love for us, that he chastens his people. If we are without chastening, we're not his children. If we're left without the rod, we're not his sons or his daughters. And so all things working together for good. The world does not run at random. What a consolation today to think of this great truth and to meditate upon it as we think of our world. And the Lord Jesus again spoke there, didn't he, in Luke's Gospel. He spoke of those whose hearts failing them for fear, looking after those things that are coming upon the world. In other words, they're thinking, well, I wonder what's next around the corner to happen. All the disasters we've had of late, there in London with terrorist attacks, and in America, and in different parts of the world. And we can understand how people's hearts and minds are failing them for fear. That's what the Lord said, failing them for fear. Looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. As I say, just wondering, well, I wonder what's the next event. Will it have an effect on me? Will it touch me or my family? But here we have the word of the Lord. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There is the certainty of his love in the verse 35 in this passage. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The apostle here is speaking, of course, from experience, isn't he? How much difficulties and trials that he experienced himself. We can think of all the assaults that he experienced upon his life. Left for dead on one occasion. Stoned. The awful opposition of the Jews toward him. Imprisoned. Shipwrecked. All of these trials, all of these things he had to endure. So he's speaking here from experience. And he goes right down the chapter here. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present or things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever overtakes the Christian. And even if, let death, as it were, let death come to the believer, it may come suddenly, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And that's why James reminds us in his epistle, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have no guarantee whatever. We may be young and in the vigor of health and strength, but young people die, don't they? Young people can be overtaken, if we could put it that way, by death. What if we have another war? What if we have more trouble? Now, as far as the Christian is concerned, as far as the believer is concerned, nothing will sever us from the love of Christ. Nothing. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, doesn't he, that as far as the Christian is concerned, the believer, it is absent from the body to be present with the Lord. That's the standing that the Christian has. Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Doesn't matter whether it's tribulation or famine or distress, whatever it might be, or persecution or the sword. When we look at all of the list that the Apostle Paul has here, they're like a lot of enemies all arrayed against the believer. But none of them can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? If you're not saved today in this meeting, dear friend, if you're not saved, can I put it to you like this? If you're not saved, you're not ready for to die. And you're not ready for to meet God. You're not ready for to meet God. And you ought to consider that very, very closely. What if your life should end today? What if the call of God should come to you today? Doesn't the Apostle Paul remind us there in Acts chapter 16? For in him we live and move and have our being. Not a single breath can we take apart from God. Not one step can we take apart from the Almighty. We have our plans and schemes and everything else, what we're going to do. But of course we can do nothing unless he permits. Isn't that the argument that James brings out to the rich man, to the businessman? When he says, today or tomorrow, let us go into a certain town or city and there buy and sell. And he's saying, in effect, thou fool, you know not what tomorrow is going to bring. And of course it is a dismissing of God, whereas they ought to say, if the God will, if the Lord will. And if God wills it, we'll do all these things. If he wills it. Oh, the importance of God's salvation. The importance of being ready for to meet God. And our Savior, we know the verse, the passage well, don't we, in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. How many, when we think of two world wars and other wars, how many of those young men were ready to meet God? How many of them were ready? Mown down like grass? Undoubtedly, there were those that were saved and who were ready and knew and loved the Lord, but how many? We don't know. But note here the Apostle Paul, he reminds us here that it is the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, it's not our love for him he's speaking about here on this occasion, but he's referring here to the love of Christ. Because, you see, at times our love for him can get cold and our love for the Lord can be weak. But his love changes never. The love of Christ for his people is always full and it is always perfect. You remember, if we turn for a moment in our Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and the verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them on to the end. He loved them on to the end. And my goodness, when you think of it, there was much in them that wasn't attractive. They all forsook him and fled. We think of Peter and all his boasting, and Peter forsook him and fled. But of course, the scripture reminds us that they all forsook him. They all did so. They all went and forsook him and fled with fear. But yet, he loved them unto the very end. He loved them unto the end. You remember the words that we have in 1 John, in the chapter 4, and in the verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And the verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, a covering for our sins, to make atonement for our sins. Oh, the love of Christ for his people will never fail. And though we sin and come far short and disappoint and are weak at times, and our love for the Lord not all that it should be. He speaks here in verse 35 of tribulation.
shall tribulation, he says. And tribulation here can mean that trouble that is common to all men. Common to all men. Trouble. Tribulation. These are the things that we have to face of many various sorts. Trouble. Man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upwards, Job said. And we may get a period of time when all seems to be calm and all seems to be quiet. But it seems to me in this world we're never too far away from trouble of one sort or another. Whether it be in the family or wherever it might be or out in the world. Trouble. Then he speaks here about distress as well. Shall tribulation or distress? And by distress here he means the meaning is to be closed into a narrow place. A narrow place. Confined in a narrow place. As if we can't turn to the left hand or to the right. Difficult circumstances. That perhaps we can't see any way out at all. No way out. No way forward. No deliverance. No relief. Distress. And how many people are in distress, in tribulation and trouble of all sorts. But the Christian, the child of God, saved by his grace, no matter what the tribulation might be, no matter what the distress might be, and the effect upon our minds and our circumstances, it doesn't matter. The Lord will deliver. He will give relief in time. But they'll not separate us from the love of Christ. And even as the psalmist David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And God has a purpose in these things. And though we see nothing at times but a dark cloud, yet we can be assured that the Lord knows and he cares. He speaks here about persecution as well, inflicted by others because of the gospel and because of our relationship with the Lord. Persecution. We're getting away light in this day and age in which we live. There's no persecution. No persecution at all. We'll have an easy time of it. We can come and go from the house of God. We have freedom to read our Bibles, to meet for prayer meetings and everything else. And at this particular time, there's nobody seeking to break down our doors or take our lives. Not yet, anyway. No persecution. We have it easy. But when you think in other countries at this present time, of what the people of God are going through. They haven't got that freedom or liberty to meet as we have. Many have lost their lives already. Distress and persecution, all of these things. Yes, the providence of God and the love of God. You know, in the Second World War, as we think today on this Remembrance Sunday, I think we all know today that the outcome of the war for a long time lay in the balance. It lay in the balance. France was overrun, wasn't it? There was nothing to stop the enemy from invading Britain. All seemed to be open. Waterway was open. Why didn't they advance? Why didn't they come and take it? But there you have the providence of God at work. And the hand of God at work. And in Dunkirk, the enemy troops there had to be withdrawn. But why didn't the Germans come when they had the opportunity of all those men on the beaches? They could have come and taken them. The casualties might have been far worse. And then at the last moment they were withdrawn. The enemy troops were withdrawn and went to fight in another place. And there was need in another part of the world.
providence of God, the love of God, the certainty of God's overruling hand. But I say that because when I talk about many things being in the balance in the last war, yet the future of the believer never lies in the balance. Never lies in the balance. Men and women, whatever might come upon us, whether it be war, distress, famine, he says here that not even nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So you see, that's the certainty of the gospel. The future of the believer is never in the balance. It's certain. It is certain. Because it is grounded on the love of God. John Calvin, who said in John 3:16, he says, there we have the whole foundation of the work of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear soul, today, as we come to the end of our meeting, what about your soul? What about eternity? You know that verse very well, don't you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you got that everlasting life today? Life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you trust him and come to him in repentance, confess your sin and your need and cast yourself down at his feet, he will save you. And ask him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is the certainty of his salvation, as we've already mentioned here in the verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now he uses here a past tense for a future event. A past tense for a future event. Whom he did predestinate. And he stresses this. He mentions this to stress the certainty. The certainty. Them he also glorified. Them he also glorified. You see, it doesn't matter what the world may throw at the believer. It doesn't matter about the opposition and the war and tribulations and everything else. God has a people. He has called them elect according to his grace, chosen from before the foundations of the world. He's going to save them, and he is going to bring them to glory. This is our calling, and this is the comfort, the joy that the believer has. He says predestinated. That is, they are appointed beforehand to mark out beforehand. And God from all eternity has called a people for himself to save and to glorify. Oh, what a tremendous gospel we have today. Yes, these are great certainties, and we have them in a world of uncertainty. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Is this your standing today in the gospel, in the Lord? You know that all is well with your soul, that you're saved by his grace, and whatever trouble or trial may come, you know you're going to heaven when your time comes and you're going to glory to be with him forever and forever. Who shall separate us from the love of God
which is in Christ Jesus.